Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masechet Horayot, Daf Yod Aleph Amud Bet, and this will be the penultimate podcast of Masechet Horayot. We are looking at Mishnah Dalad of the final parak, of the third parak, defining the different special rules in the community vis-a-vis Korban Chatat. We talked about the Nasi and proved the Nasi, the Mashiach, sorry, the Nasi is a Melech. Ve'ezo Mashiach, what's the Mashiach? A Mashiach b'shemen ha-mishcha lo hamru b'bgadim. So the only Kohen Gadol who fits our Parsha is a Kohen Gadol who is anointed with the Shemen ha-mishcha, not just the Kohen Gadol of the end of Bayit Rishon and all of Bayit Sheni times in which he had the eight garments, but was not anointed. Now, Ein Bein Kohen HaMashiach b'shemen ha-mishcha l'mrubah b'bgadim. The only difference between a Kohen who was a Kohen Gadol who was anointed and a Kohen Gadol who merely wears all eight is Alapar Habal Kol HaMitzvot, our halacha. That's the only difference. Ve'ein ben Kohen Meshamesh, the Kohen She'avar, and parenthetically point out that the only difference between a Kohen Gadol who is current and a Kohen Gadol who is emeritus is Alapar Yom HaKippurim, that has to be bought by the funds of the current Kohen Gadol. Vasiri Taifan, the daily korban, half in the morning, half in the evening, is brought only by the current Kohen Gadol. Otherwise, Zev Zeh Shavim Avodat Yom HaKippurim, either one of them can do the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, which has to be done by Kohen Gadol, Umetzuvim Al Betula, both of them must marry a Betula, Vasurim Al Amana, both of them are prohibited from marrying an Amana, Ve'inam Metamim B'Kovam, neither one of them goes to any funerals, even of their only relatives, Velo Parim, Velo Parmim, two of the rituals associated with mourning, which is to let their hair grow out, Parim, and Parmim is to tear their clothes. U Machzirin HaRotzeach, either one of them dying allows the Rotzeach to go home from Arei Miklat. Okay, now let's look at all of this. Tadarbanan. Let's talk about the history of the Shemen HaMishcha. Shemen HaMishcha Shasam HaShem HaMinbar, Hayushol Kimbo Taikarim. They would take them in future generations, and they would use them to boil up the roots, and then that would make the proper Shemen HaMishcha. Rabbi Yehuda. It's not enough even to wash it on or to soak it on the roots. Certainly not enough to boil it. It's not enough for that. Ella shorina ta'ikarim b'mayim. They first soak the roots of the spices that they're going to use in water. But sif alav shemen, and then they pour a little bit of the shemen on top. V'koleit t'areach v'kipcho. And then it takes in the smell of the shemen and of the ikarim together, and then he pushes it down. Amar Yehuda, v'chineis achad nasa b'shemen ha-mishcha. So a miracle happened. It's not the only miracle that happened to shemen ha-mishcha. The nes that there should be so much of it, just like the shemen in the days of Elisha. Chanukah maybe also based on this idea that nes of continued shemen. V'alo t'chilato shnemasar lugin. After all, it was originally made from only 12 lug. Meno hayunim shach mishkan v'kelav aron v'nav kol shivat yimei hamiluim v'cholam kayam latid lavo. From 12 lugim, which is not a whole lot, that's 144 ounces or so, something of that amount, Moshe was able to anoint the entire mishkan, all of the vessels, Aharon, his four sons, for all 7 days, meaning every day they did that anointment. All 7 days of the miluim. And it's all going to still be around. Latid lavo, shenemar, shemen mishchat kodesh, yezeli lidorotechem. God says, it's me for all your generations. So it's quite miraculous, so don't be surprised. Tanya idach, v'ikach moshe shemen mishcha v'mishachat mishkan v'kol asher bo. It said that the Braita quotes the pasuk in Parshat Shemini that Moshe took the shemen and anointed the mishkan and everything in it. This Shemen HaMishcha had lots of miracles. Again, only 12 lugin. Think about this. How much does a pot, when you cook some oil in it, how much does a pot, the walls of the pot soak in? How much do the roots soak in? And how much evaporates by fire? And nonetheless, as we saw, and that same oil was used to anoint Kohanim Gdolim for the future, and kings. We'll see, not all kings. Even when a Kohen Gadol takes over for his father, who was a Kohen Gadol, unlike a king, as we will see, he still needs to be anointed. Ve'in moshchim melech ben melech, but we do not anoint a king if his father was the king. Ve'im tomrei ma'mashchu et Shlomo, so ask how come in the first chapter of Malachim they anointed Shlomo. Because Adoniah ben Chagit had claimed the crown for himself. Vet Yoash, why was Yoash anointed? Mnei Ataliah, because of Ataliah who killed all of the family. Vet Yoachaz, why? Mnei Yehoyakim, this is at the very end of the first commonwealth, and we're going to hear more details about this particular family. Shaya gadol menu shtei shanim. Yehoyakim was older than Yehoachaz, so since Yehoachaz was being named as the king, even though he was not the eldest, therefore they had to anoint him. In other words, the rule is you never have to anoint a king if he's the son of the king, unless his rule is being contested. V'yoto shemen kayam latid lavo. That same oil is going to be around forever. Now, how do we know it was 12 lugin? Ze begimatria shtemasar lugin avu. Ze and gematria, that's 12, so that's how we know the 12 lugin. I don't believe that that's really the source of knowing the 12 lugin, but that's a nice allusion to it. Now, Mamar, let's take a look at this bright. Afilu koin gadol ben koin gadol ta'un mishicha. Even if a koin gadol becomes the son of the koin gadol, takes over as koin gadol, he still needs mishicha, unlike kings. Menal, and how do we know? Tichtiv ha-koin ha-mashiach tachtav mi-banav. We say that not only Aharon, but whoever is the koin mashiach in his place of his sons. So, ne-makrav ha-koin mi-tachtav mi-banav. Why did it say ha-koin ha-mashiach? The only way that his son really becomes Kohen Gadol is if he's also anointed. But we say we don't anoint a king who is taking over for his father, the king. The Parshat HaMelech in Parshat Shoftim says this should happen so that the king will have a long rule, he and his sons, meaning Yerusha Hilachem, it's a Yerusha. But how do we know that if there is somebody contesting the crown, that the Yunin Mashicha Vilav called the boy Malka Morit Machuta Livne? Why can't a king just say who his son is gonna be the king? Why do we have to anoint him? Papa Makra, who vana Bekar of Israel? Because the pasuk that makes it Yerusha is Bekar of Israel, meaning Bishmansha Shalom be Israel. Karina Behu Vanav. Only when there is Shalom be Israel, meaning everybody agrees on who the king is, then it's Hu Vanav. Afilu below Mishicha, then you don't need anointment. Okay, Tana. Af Yehu ben Nimshi, who was anointed by Elisha's student, Lo Nimshach Elim Neimachokto Shal Yoram. Again, Yoram ben Achav, and this was the end of Beit Omri, was, shall we say, removed, and Yehu ben Nimshi was anointed in his place. Yehu did the war originally against the Nevi'a Baal. So that's why he was anointed. Why don't we say a simpler thing? He's the first person of this house. He's not a Beit Omri. So of course we have to anoint him. It's starting a new dynasty. The answer is Chasur Vachsor Vachitani. That bright is missing. Machay Beit David Meshuchin. The kings of the house of David are anointed. Machay Yisrael Ein Meshuchin. We don't anoint the kings of Israel. Menalan. Amarav Amakra. Kum Meshachehu Kizehu. When Shmuel went through all the sons of Yishai, and none of them were the one God chose, and then finally David showed up, he said, anoint him, because this is the one who will be the ruler. Meaning, Zeta'un Meshicha, V'nacherta'un Meshicha. Only Beit David gets Meshicha. Aha. But, Amar Yehu ben Shach, Al Neimach HaKotosh Shal Yoram. The only reason Yehu ben Nimshi, of all the northern kings, was Nimshach, of course, that's not exactly true because of Yeravam ben Nevat and Achiah Shiloni. But the reason that he was anointed is because of machlokato shel Yoram. Now, mishum machlokato shel Yoram and Achav nimol b'shemen. Why we should misuse the shemen? We're not allowed to use shemen as hekdesh. We're not allowed to use the shemen just because of some political or social concern. Only if there's mishicha there. The answer is going to be Papa on farsam al dachir. We'll see this at the end of the sugya, where Papa says in another context they used, if we will, fake shemen. In other words, persimmon oil that was like shemen amishcha. It had the kind of the same feel of it, but it wasn't really shemen amishcha. That's what they used here. Chram farsam al dachir. Now back to Yoachaz. With Yoachaz and Yoachim, since when? If you look in Divrei Hayamim, you find the pasuk of Nei Yoshiyahu HaBechor Yochanan, Hasheni Yehoyakim, Hashlishit Tzidkiyah, Harvi'i Shalom. Those are the four names. V'yam Rabbi Yochanan. What was Rabbi Yochanan's comment? Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkiyah, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz. He said that three of the four names in that pasuk, everybody besides Yehoyakim, are all really the same person. This is one of the something that Chazal do often in Agadah, identifying disparate characters as being the same. And so that would mean then that, again, when there is identification of disparate characters as being the same person, but in any case, in our Pasuk, we identify Yochanan, Tzidkiyahu, and Shalom all as being the same person, and they are Yehoahaz, and if that's the case, then Yehoahaz is older than Yehoyakim. So the answer is no. The Olam Yehoyakim Kashish. Really, Yehoyakim is the older. Umay Bechor, so why is Yochanan here called HaBechor? And of course that means here Yehoahaz. The answer is Bechor LeMalchut, meaning he was the first one to become the Melech. When do we ever allow the younger son to become the king in spite of when there's an older son? So he said that the reason is because he's the Bechor. The answer is Yoram Malim Makom Avotava Yahweh. He was worthy. He was somebody who really could sit in the throne. Yakim Malim Makom Avotava. Yehoyakim, as you read at the end of Malachim, really wasn't so worthy, and that's why he was over. He was passed over. Now, Amar, let's look back at this drasha of Yochanan. Who Shalom Utsikeu Yochanan Hu Yochaz? Vachad Chad Kochashiv. What are you talking about? The text says 1, 2, 3, and 4. They're not all the same person. Dertiv Hashlishi and Arvi. The answer is we darshan all of them. My Shlishi, Shlishi Lebanim. Really, he was the third son. He was the Bechor Lemalchut. My Revi'i, why was Revi'i? Revi'i Lemalchut. Why? The Meikar Malach Yehoyachaz, and then Yehoyakim, and then Yechoniah, and then Tzidkiyahu at the end. Alright, but reality is Tzidkiyahu is a different guy, so this is very difficult. As we'll see here, Tanaban Hu Shalom Utsidkiyahu, then that, in this bright, only makes two of them into one person. Shalom Utsidkiyahu. When I question about Shalom, why is he called Shalom? Shayam Meshulam Bemasav. He was a perfect person. This is one of the takes in Chazal that has Tzidkiyahu in a positive light. Not everybody does. Ikadami Shalom Sheshalma Malchut Beit David Biyamav. That was the end of Malchut Beit David. He was the last of them. Mashmo, his real name is Matanyashmo. We see that in the section Amar. Vayimlech Melech Bavel at Matanyah Dodo Tachta Vayasevet Shmo Tzidkiyahu. The king of Bavel took Yechoniah and away in chains, and put Matanyah, his uncle, in his place as king, and he changed his name to Tzidkiyahu, and receives his uncle from the previous pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. And now, why did he call him Tzidkiyahu? Amar le'yaya stik alecha tadin im timrod bi, meaning God will get you, God will hurt you if you rebel against me, which is, of course, what Tzidkiyahu did, and he had his children killed in front of him, and his eyes poked out as a result. That's why the text says that he had been taken an oath by God not to rebel. Now, that Nebuchadnezzar had issued it. Umi have Shemana Mishcha. Wait, time out. Since when was the Shemana Mishcha in the time of Yehoyachaz? At the end of Beit Rishon. Vatanya with a brighta, Mishinignaz Aron, Nignaz Shemana Mishcha, it's in Senat Haman, Makvoshal Aron, Shkedeh Ufracheha, Vargash Shachuplishtim Daron the Israel. All of these things were buried. The Aron, this is in Yeshayahu's time. The Shemen HaMishcha was, and that's why we wonder how Yehoahaz did it. The little container that had man in it. Aharon's stick, these are all things. The story of the man is the end of Perek Tetzayin Shmot. The story with his Perek Tetzayin in Bamidbar, of the story of, sorry, about Yud Zayin, the story of Korach. And the Aron, that the box that the Plishtim sent with the five mice and the five boils or whatever it might be, in Perek Vav Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Shneamar Ved Kleaz Avasher He Ashevotem Lo Asham Dasim Ragaz Mitzidov Shalachtem Oto B'Halach. So it'll be they sent it with the wagon with the two cows in a box. That box stayed in the Beit Hamikdash and finally was buried by Yoshiyahu. Humiganazo, who buried it, Yoshiyahu Melech Yehudaganazo. That's towards the end of the 7th century BCE. Shira'ash Katuba Torah. What did he see? The curse was in the Torah. Yelech Adonai Tzotchavim Vet Malkecha Shetekim Alecha El Goy Yashalei Adata. God is going to take you to a faraway kingdom, and they're going to despoil the Mikdash. So what did he do? Tziva Uganazum. He commanded that all these things be buried in a way that could never be found, so nobody else could touch them. Shinemar. V'yomer l'alvim ha'mevinim, this is Yoshiyahu, v'yomer l'alvim l'chol Yisrael, the levim who taught everybody, ha'kadoshim l'adonai, t'nu et aron ha'kodesh b'bayit ha'shem banah Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael, ein lechem asa b'katef ata, ivdu et adonai l'lechem et amo Yisrael. He said, you don't carry anything anymore, the aron is going to be gone, I want you to bury it all, and you worship God and you serve his nation. V'yamar Belazar, Atya Sham Sham, Atya Mishmeret Mishmeret, Atya Dorot Dorot. And if you look through each one of that pasuk, you'll see that it alludes to the Argaz and to the Aron and to the Shemra Mishchan that's in Senat Haman and the Makel, because they're called the Mishmeret and they're called the Dorot, and therefore all of those things connect. Look, Rashi ties them all together, and you see how all of these things are buried. So the Shemra Mishcha is gone. So what do they do? What kind of Shem do they use for Yehoahaz? Rav Papa be'afar samadachya. This is where Rav Papa originally said it. They didn't use real Shemra Mishcha. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Ketzav Moshchen et Hamlachim. How do you anoint kings? What do? Kamin Nezer, like a crown, meaning you anoint them all the way around the head. Veta Kohanim, how do you anoint Kohanim? Kamin Ki, meaning a Greek letter Kai, which is like an X. My Kamin Ki, what's that? I'm Rav Menashe Bar Gada, Kamin Kaf Yivani, a Greek Kai. Tani Chada, and the idea is as follows. Batchila Motzkin Shemen Al Rosho. According to one version, they pour oil on his head. Then they strike him down in an X fashion to his eyelids, which means the oil that's on the right side goes to the left eyelid, and vice versa. That's the X. The other version is they put it between his eyes, and then they pour on the upside. And so either way, they make the X. The answer is Tanoihi Ikadam Meshicha Adifa. One person says anointing is better, and that's from the eyes. Ikadam Yitzika Adifa, pouring it on is better. My Tamidamandam Yitzika Adifa, why does one think that pouring it is better? Dichtiv Yitzok Mishemana Mishchal, Rosh Aharon, Memshachotol Kacho. That Moshe poured the oil on Aharon, and he anointed him. Mandam Meshicha Adifa, my time, why did it say anointing is better? Rubbing it on, Kesavar, Shekinat HaMotzei, Itzel Klei Sharet. That's what Moshe did to all the Kelim in the Mikdash. He anointed them. Ayv Aktiv Aitzok. It says that Moshe poured the oil on Aharon, Sofai Meshach, and then anointed. And the answer is Achi Gamar, my time, Vaitzok, Meshu Meshicha, Vaimshoch. In other words, he poured it to anoint it. Anointing is the main thing. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, beautiful pasuk. Kashemana Tov Al Rosh Yared Al Zakan Zakan Aharon. What does that mean? Kamein Shnei Patipei Margaliot Hayut Liot Aharon Bizkano. Moshe Aharon had two little pearls hanging on his beard of oil, and they stayed there. Papa Tanak Shum Mesaper Olot V'Yoshvot Lo Bikar Zakano. When he would talk, the things would go up and down, and they would sit there right in the middle of his beard. Moshe was upset about that. Maybe I misused the Shemana Mishcha when I anointed him because this oil is still here. Sabat Kol V'Amra, because what's the next pasuk in Tehillim? Kashemana Tov Al Rosh, Yared Al Zakan Aharon, Shared Al Pibi Notav, Ketal Chermon, Shared Al Retzion. Why is it Ketal Chermon? Matal Chermon Ebo Me'ila. Just like the dew on the Chermon, there's no Me'ila, it's not Hekdesh. Once it's in his beard, it's no more Me'ila. But Aaron was now weird. Maybe I misused the Shemen because it's in my beard. How beautiful it is that brothers dwell together. Meaning, you and Moshe are alike. Ma Moshe lo ma'al, afata lo ma'alta. Just like Moshe didn't misuse it, you also didn't misuse it. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein moshchim et hamlachim Ella al Hamayan. We anoint kings only next to a spring. Why? Symbolically, Kadeshi Timashech Malchutam, so that their kingdom should last forever like an ever-flowing spring. Shinemar, what's the proof text? Vayamalach Lahem, Khui Machemet Avde Adonechem, Varatem Oto El Gichon. Take Shlomo with all your people and my mule down to the Gichon, which is the source of the Shiloach, and anoint him there. Rabbi Ami, Haiman deboy le da imasik shate olo. If somebody wants to know if he's going to live out the year, nitle shraga ba, this is now working on the symbolism that we just mentioned of having the king be anointed near a unending stream of water, a flowing stream of water. So if somebody wants to know if they're going to live through the year, nitle shraga ba sar yom de ben rosh hashanah yom kippur. Let him put up a candle during the 10 days of yom Hashem kippur. Beveita de lo nashiv zika, in a house that there's no wind. If the light lasts, he know that his year will last out. He'll live another year. Somebody wants to get involved in business. If he wants to know he's going to succeed, let him raise a rooster. If it gets fat and good, then it's a tzlacha. Somebody wants to go out on a journey. He wants to know if he's going to make it home ever. He should go into a dark house. If he could see the shadow of his shadow, then he'll know he'll make it home. And that's not a good idea. Maybe what will happen is he won't see it, and he'll get all upset, and as a result, his mazel will go bad, and something really bad will happen. Sort of what we call a self-fulfilling prophecy. Amar Abaye. So this is a famous piece that also shows up in Kretot. Hashdamar Simana Miltahi. Now that you're saying that the symbols are meaningful, then Yehei Ragil, the Mechse Berei Shata, a person should look on Rosh Hashanah at Kra, Verubia, Karte, Vesilka, Vatamri. Many of the foods that we symbolically eat at Rosh Hashanah, Abaye says you should look at them. Kra, which is like a pumpkin of sorts, Verubia, Karte, leeks, Silka, beets, Tamri, dates. And each one of them, the word that's used in Aramaic for them, also has a double meaning. Amar Lo Shashai Libre, Ki Ba'itu Me'al U'mi'u, Migmari Kamer Rabbeichu. And you're going to learn in front of your Rebbe, Garsumat Nitu Ba'alu Kamer Rabbeichu. First go over your Mishnayot, then go in. Chiatvitu Kame Chazu Lepume. When you come in to learn, watch his mouth. Shtichtiv, Ayu Einecha Barot Et Morecha. Because the great promise in Shaya is your eyes will see your teacher. Mechi Garsitu, and when you learn, Girsu Al Nahara Demaya. Learn next to a river. Just like the river's waters go flow, so your word should flow out to the world. Better to sit on the dung heaps in Matamachsia as opposed to in the palaces of Pumbadita. Better to be here in Matamachsia. Again, the lowest kind of food of Matamachsia is better to eat than the fanciest food in Ramakefi, another place. Now, last piece of the Esagadah is in Chana's song, she says, Rama Karni Belohai. My horn has been lifted up with God. Rama Karni Velo Rama Paki. Meaning my horn, but not my vial. Meaning a horn is used to anoint some kings, and a vial is used to anoint some kings. David David and Shlomo, who were anointed from a horn of oil, Nivshechah Malchutan. That's the symbolism of the song. Their kingdom lasted forever. Sha'ul v'Yehush in Mishachu b'Pach lo nimshachah malchutan. Both Sha'ul and, at the other end of things, up in Yisrael, Yehu were anointed with a Pach. Their kingdom did not last. So that's the symbolism of Rama Karni. Now, HaMashuach b'Shem HaMishcha. Now we go back to our Mishnah. And we say that HaMashuach b'Shem HaMishcha is the only one who brings this this Korban. That this is the definition of the Kohen Agadol Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha. Tanu Rabbanan Mashiach, it says Im HaMashiach Yachta. Yachom Melech HaMei, think that that's a king. A king is also anointed. Tanu Lomar Kohen, I'm a Kohen HaMashiach. I Kohen Yachom Meruba Begadim. I may think it's even a Kohen Gadol who just wears the 8 garments like in Beit Sheni times. Tanu Lomar Mashiach. So, it might be one of the other anointed Kohanim, like the Kohen is anointed to go out to the war. The anointed one. Nobody else is over him. My mashma, how do you figure that from there? Hayarech is hamyumenet shebiyarech. When you say you cannot eat the gidon ashal kaf hayarech, so the halacha is only the singular and best thigh, that's the right thigh. HaMashiach means HaMiyuman Shemeshuchim, the highest of all the anointed Kohanim. HaMashiach Yochum Melech Parud Amayti. Why would you think Mashiach here is a Melech? A Melech is already in us. He's got his own Parsha. Parud Amayti, Sa'ir Amayti, brings a Sa'ir. He answers, the Star, Chzalkatan Achven El Shigat Maaseh Yavi Sa'ir. We already played with this Havamina. HaMdov Yavi Par Kamash Malan. I might have thought that the Nasi, for just flubbing it up and eating chalev instead of shuman brings a seir. But if there was a bad instruction, he gave his own instruction, and then he followed it, then he'd bring a par, so kamash palan, that this is a kohen, not a nasi. Now, ein mashuach b'shem ha-mishcha, the only difference between that merubah begadim is par bal kol ha-mitzvot, our par. Now, and there is no difference between a Kohen Gadol who is current and a Kohen Gadol who is past, except for the Par Yom HaKippurim and Asiritai 5. Everything else they're the same. Matnita de lo Krameir. Our Mishnah does not follow Rameir. Why? De Rameir, Hatanim Rubab Godim Evi Parbal Kol Mitzvot. Remember, Meir says that even if you're a Kohen Gadol, against what we've just learned, even if you're a Kohen Gadol without anointing, but just who wears the eight garments, you still bring this par. So Rabbi Meir would say there is no difference between a par, a Kohen Mashiach, B'Shem Ramishcha, and Rubab Godim. The Chum didn't agree. My time in Rameh, what was Rameh's reason for saying Merubah Begadim is exactly the same? The Tanya, Mashiach, Ein Li Ela Mashiach B'Shem HaMishcha, Merubah Begadim Minayin. So now, in this drasha, instead of having Mashiach be exclusive, it's expansive. Omar HaKoin HaMashiach, meaning whoever occupies that position. The Mayu Kimte, to Rabbanan, so you say that our Mishnah is like Rabbanan against Rameh? So, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. Ein bein koin neshamesh the koin shavar, ela pari makipurim asiri taifa. The only difference between a current and former Kohen Gadol is paying for the pari makipurim and the special korban that a Kohen, Gadol brings every day. Atan Rameir, that sounds exactly like Rameir against Rabbana, the Tanya. Irabo psul b'koin gadol, if Erev Yom Kippur, the koin gadol became pasul. V'avaru minu koin acher tachtav, so they had to appoint another koin to be his koin gadol for Yom Kippur. Harishon chozer l'avodato, after that's over, the first guy goes back to be koin gadol. Hasheni kol mitzvot kuna alav, the other one has all the mitzvot of kuna gdola on him, he just isn't acting in the job. That's Reb Meir. And then Reb Yossi Omer, so the other version is Rabbi Yossi Maaseh Yosef Ben Elim Mitzipori Shabsul B'Kohen Gadol Ve'Orminu Achar Tachtav Chu Achav Akonim Liot Lokein Gadol Lokein Hedyot. Alright, we have two different versions of this. The other version is Uminu Tachtav Umasal Lefnei Chachom Amru Rishon Chozer Ratov Sheni Enu Ra'ilu Lokein Gadol Lokein Hedyot. And what it basically means as follows. The mayor says that if a Kohen Gadol is invalidated and another one takes his place, they both remain Kohanim Gadolim, but the second one, the one who was the replacement, the substitute, he is not active. But they all both have a din of Kohanim Gadolim. As opposed to Rabbi Yossi's position, which is the first guy goes back to be Kohen Gadol and the second one is sort of in limbo. He can't go back to be Kohen Gadol, nor can he go back to be Kohen Hedyot. Kohen Gadol, Mishumevai. You can't have two guys being Kohen Gadol at the same time. There's enmity between them. Kohen Adyot, Mishum, Malim, Makorosh, Fin, Moridin. You can't go back to be Kohen Adyot because you can't go down in Kedusha. Now, that means it's Reb Meir whose position it is that a Kohen Gadol who has passed is essentially, with two exceptions, still a Kohen Gadol, unlike Reb Yossi. So Reisha Rabbanon of a Sefer Reb Meir, so the Reisha of our Mishnah is Rabbanon against Reb Meir. And the Sefer is Dafka Reb Meir. Rav Chista in, yes, Reish Rabbanon was safer of Meir, so it's a composite Mishnah. Rav Yosef Amari has another solution which is not dissimilar. Rebbe, the Mishnah's Rebbe. V'nasiv la'libet atanoi. Rebbe holds like Reb Meir in one position, Rabbanon in one position, and Reb Meir in the other position. Rav Amar Reb Shimon, he says, the author's Reb Shimon. So like Reb Meir b'chad, apalagale b'chad, he accepts Reb Meir here and doesn't accept him there. Titania, how do I know that? What's the difference between a coin gadol and a regular coin? Elohim. One, par bal kol mitzvot. That's our par. Par yom kippurim in our Mishnah. See, we tefa in our Mishnah. Velo porem, velo porem. The fact that he doesn't let his hair loose and he doesn't cut his clothes for mourning. Avalu porem milamata vejot milamala. The coin gadol does tear underneath. We'll see what underneath means. Machloket Rav and Shmuel. And a regular coin tears like a regular person on the top hem of his clothes. Ain matami the krovim. A kohen gadol doesn't go to funerals, even of relatives. Umuzar al betula must marry a betula. Vasur ba'almana can't marry an almana. Umachzir ta rotzeach. And if he dies, the rotzeach who's in Irmi Klat gets to go home. Umakriv onen ve'no ochel. And if he's mourning, even the day that a relative has died, he can bring that korban, but he cannot eat. He also can't take a portion of that. Makriv chelik parosh notel chelik parosh. He can be the first one to bring a korban, meaning he can play the first role in the bringing the korban, and he can get the first part of the food of the korban. It's Kohen Gadol. U'meshamesh b'shmona kelim, he wears eight garments, not four. V'chol avodat yom kippurim enok shera alavo. A Kohen Gadol is the one with whom every avodat yom kippurim must be done, only with him. U'patur al tumat mikdash v'karashav, this we saw a little bit earlier. He is not liable for tumat mikdash, the karet or the olav yored. V'chula noagin b'mu'el b'gadim chutz mipar ha'bal ha'mivya kol ha'mitzvot. And all of these rules of Kohen Gadol apply to a Kohen Gadol, even though he's not anointed, but just wearing the eight garments, except for Parabal Kol Mitzvot, exactly like Aresha. And they all apply to a former Kohen, Kohen Gadol Emeritus, except for Par Yom Kippurim and Asiri Teifa, exactly like our Mishnah. So this Braita is exactly following our Mishnah. A kohen who is anointed to go out to war has only five of these special kohen laws. Otherwise, his regular kohen, which five? Lo porea v'lo poreim. He does not let his hair grow out for mourning. He does not cut clothes for mourning. Tamei l'krovim, doesn't go to funerals of krovim. So he's like kohen gadol for those three things. Tzfar l'betulah must marry betulah. Asur b'almana cannot marry an almana. U'machzir tarotzeach divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda adds a sixth thing, which is that if this kohen Mashuach Machama dies, then anybody who's in the miklat gets to go home. Chom Omrim Eino Machzir, they disagree. Now, that entire bright has no name on it. The end is Rabbi Yehuda, versus Chachamim, but the entire bright has no name on it. Hi, mighty Rabbi Shimon, who says it's Rabbi Shimon? Papa Man Shaman Lay Dama Patuel Tom and Gashu Gorashav. Rabbi Shimon, the answer is one line in the middle of the bright was that the kohen Gadol is exempt for Tumat Mikdash Gorashav. Who is that? That's Rabbi Shimon. Because if you recall, Rabbi Akiva says, Kohen Gadol is patur from all of the Olaviyoreds. But Rabbi Shimon is the one who says he's patur only from that. Okay. So to end our piece here, Chutz Mechamishad Dvarim Amurim Parsha, we said that the Kohen Mashuach Mechoma is not a Kohen Gadol except for these five things. I mean, how do we know? Kohen Gadol Me'achav, it introduces Kohen Gadol in Parsha Emor, is that Kohen Gadol? That's the regular Kohen Gadol. That has the oil anointed on his head. That's the coin who was anointed for war. And he was invested with the job to wear the special garments. That is the Kohen Gadol who is not anointed but has the Begadim. Akulanu Omer, for all of them it says Rosho lo Yifra, Uvgadav lo Yifrom. Those three things, letting his hair grow out, tearing his clothes, and going to funerals. Yachol yu kulan makrivin onanim, I might think that all these guys, meaning Meru Begadim, Mashuach Lachama, and Kohen Gadol Mashuach, bring a korban on the day that somebody died in their family. Talmud Lomar, ki nezer shem nishchat lo havalav. The reason that he does not mourn at all is because he has the crown of anointed oil on him. Halav lo chavero, only that one, not any other colleague. Once the Kohen Gadol HaMashiach has been separated out and singled out, I might think that these other two don't have any command regarding Betulah and Almanah. Tamud Lomar, Vehu Isha Betulah Yukach. He, and the Vehu means it expands it to the other two fellows. Kitanoi, it says from Achlo Kitanoi. Vehu Isha Betulah Yukach. Chashechilek HaKatuv Ribah. Once the text separates, singled them out, then it suddenly got inclusive. So Bishmoel says that the Isser of Almana and the Mitzvah Betula applies to these other two Kohanim Gedolim also. Quasi-Gedolim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Einli Ela Shavar Machmat Kiryo. I only know that this is true if he was substituted for because he had a carry on every kippur. Machmat Mumin Minayin. What if it turns out he had a temporary Mum and somebody else took his place? Tamil Omar Vehu. Even something like that still has to marry Betula. Bomb, so it's only Rabbi Shmuel's position that we're picking up. Bomb in a Rav Nachman, so Rav asked Rav Nachman. Mashiach shenistarea, ma'u balmona. This is similar to the question we asked the previous podcast about Uziyahu, a nasi shenistarea. Which korban does he bring? A Mashiach shenistarea, if you have a coin gadol Mashiach, and he suddenly has tzarat, so he rather currently can't do his avodah, can he currently wear Marian almanah? Midchadochi or mifta pater, meaning is he just temporarily out or is he patur from the issue of almanah right now? So lava biyader, Rav Nachman didn't have an answer. Zina biyader, Papa v'kami bailei. So Papa was in front of Rava and he asked him, Amalehuna braid Rav Nachman or Papa Tanina in the Ela Shavar Machmat Kiryov or Machmat Muin Minayin. So he said the question. I only know this is Rav Akiva's question. I only know that is true if he was knocked out because of carry. What if he was knocked out because of Mumin? Does he still have the issue of Betula? Tamalom Ravahu. He said, Vehu, and what does that prove to you? That the Kohen Gadol who is unfit is still a Kohen Gadol. He's Mitche Dochi and not Mifter Pater, and therefore the one with the Mumim also must marry a Betula and may not marry an Almana. Kam Nashke Bereshe V'yayvle Barte. So what did Rapapa do? Rapapa was so pleased by this revelation that that he kissed him on the head and he had him marry his daughter. Okay? Last little piece we're going to do in this penultimate podcast. Kohen Gadol Pore Milamata. We saw this already. Kohen Gadol tears when mourning from the bottom of his clothes. Vadyot Milamala. But a regular coin from the top. Kohen Gadol Makriv Onein Velo Ochel. As we saw in the Brayta. He brings a korbanot when he's an Onein, but he's not eaten. Vadyot Lo Makriv Velo Ochel. A regular coin does not even bring korbanot. And certainly does not eat. Now, Amarav, Lamata, what does Lamata mean? Lamata Mamash. Meaning really at the bottom of the garment. Lamala means Lamala Mamash. Really on top of the garment, from the top hem. Shmuel Amar, no. Lamata means Lamata Mikamei Safa. Means underneath the top of the neckline, if it were. Lamala means Lamala Mikamei Safa, at that top point. Vezev, Vezev, Savar, they're both around the neck, according to Shmuel. Meitave, I'll call him Etim Kulan. Ratzam avdil kamei safa shelo, ratzah irum avdil kamei safa shelo. This is a regular kriya. For anybody who dies, you could separate up at the neckline or not, as you wish. But alaviv yalimom avdil, but for parents you must. Now, kev and deva'al mahave kera, since you see that this is called a kera, whether or not he goes up there, kaikan begadav lo yifrom, so that's something a kohen gadol can't do. So how can you allow the Kohen Gadol, this is a challenge to Shmuel, how can you allow the Kohen Gadol to tear underneath, meaning not at the very top, if that's considered a kera, because for any other mate it's valid? The answer is Shmuel Korbi Yehuda Sferle, he holds a Korbi Yehuda, Damar, Kol Kera She'enu Avdil Safa Shalom Enu Ela Kera Shal Tiflut. If you tear kriya and you don't tear this top hem, that's not a kera at all, it's silliness. And therefore he says that's the only thing Kohen Gadol can't do, he tears underneath. But wait, since when does Rabbi Yehuda say a Kohen Gadol does it at all, that he would be piping in here? Tanya, Ilun Emar Rosh Lo Yifra Uvega Lo Yifram. If it says that he cannot uncover a head or tear a garment, remember Rosh Uvega Shel Sota Ketuba Devar. It means the Kohen Gadol can't be the one to uncover the head of the Sota when she's degraded, and to tear off her clothes. So Talmud Lomar, therefore, it says that Rosho lo Yifra Uvgadav lo Yifram. It's his head that shouldn't be let loose, his hair that shouldn't get loose, and his garment that he shouldn't tear. Shenu Afir Frima Kol Eker, the Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't let his hair grow or tear at all whatsoever. So why is Rabbi Yehuda here talking about tearing underneath? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Ein Porim Kedar Shem Adam Pormin, Elohu Minamata Vedot Minamala. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees and says, no, he doesn't tear like everybody else, but he does tear in its other way. The answer is simple. Shmuel Sama like Rabbi Yehuda Bechada, Paligale Bechada. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one instance, which is the definition of a kera. He disagrees with him about whether the Kohen Gadol does kriya. He does kriya, but he does this kriya that's not really a kriya based on Rabbi Yehuda's approach to the definition of kriya. Okay, we'll pause at this point and we'll do the final podcast of Masechet Arayot. In the next podcast, in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.